Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Israel Abel, your dying Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start. Find your seats for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? My name is Son of Israel Abel, Zephania Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It is a privilege and an honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Israel Abel now entering the sanctuary. Now I'd like to turn it over to Son of Israel Abel, Yahel Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech is Where to Go. If you are a book of Yahweh, please turn to Matthew 6:33, final page 7:33. But seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The house of Yahweh is back and it's here to stay. Please turn to Matthew 16:18, found on page 744. And I also say to you, who are ye for those naming rock, that upon this rock Yahweh will build this house for me, the house of Yahweh, and the gates of Sheol, the grave will not prevail against it. Let's read the prophecy for the last days in this generation. Please turn to Matthew 24:33 and verse 34, final page 753. In the same way, when you see all these things, know that it is coming, and the end of the ages are at the very door. Truly I say to you, that generation will not pass away until these things are fulfilled. In the book of Micaiah, we all tell all people, know this answers our question. Where to go? Please, if you have a book, you are to Micaiah 4:1, found on page 705. But in the last days, it will come to pass that mount promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations. It will be raised above all congregations, and all people will eventually flow to it. In the fifth book of Yisro, children's edition, found on page 184, it says, the work of Yahweh is right here at the top of the nation of all nations in these last days. Praise Yahweh. Great name of Yahweh, found on page 180. The house of Yahweh is back, and the house of Yahweh is one today. Repent and seek Yahweh's way. And with that, if you all please stand. With that, if you all please stand, I'd like to turn to Sonny Israel Abel for prayer.
Great Deacon Shlomo Hawkins. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today my title is, Let's Be Like Jacob and Get Our Rewards. Let's be like Jacob and get our rewards. Today I'm going to be talking about, I'm going to be comparing Esau and Jacob, Isaac's sons, and how Esau, he went out into the world, and for a taste of sin, he lost everything that he could have had. But on the other hand, Jacob, you know, he stayed in the house of Yahweh, he trained with the priest, he learned the laws, and he got everything that he wanted, okay? Now let's turn over to Genesis 25. It's on page page 20. And I'm going to be reading from verse 27 through 34. Genesis 25, verse 27. It says, "So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a quiet man, staying among the tents. And Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Jacob had cooked a stew. When Esau came in from the field, he was famished. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me with some of that red stew, for I am famished.' Therefore, his name was called Edom, that is red. But Jacob said, 'Sell me your birthright as of this day.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I am about to die, so what shall this birthright be to me?' Then Jacob said, 'Vow to me as of this day.' So he vowed to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils, and he ate and drank, then arose and went his way. So Esau despised the birthright." Okay, now that little story there, you know, as one of the Kahan said, these things in the book of Yahweh, they're not cute little stories. We have to take each one of these things and look at it, you know, look in the book of Israel, see what Pastor said about it. Okay, and we have to really study these things out and see, okay, what is the lesson that Yahweh is trying to show us? What are we supposed to learn from this? Okay, Esau was a skillful hunter. In the King James Version, it says a cunning hunter. If you look over to R2, it says Esau became a God worshiper. Okay, worshiper of Elohim and a deceiver. Okay, Esau was a deceiver. He went out and he followed the world. He went out into the world and he wanted that taste of sin. Now let's go over to Hebrews 12. This is where Yeshua talked about Esau. Hebrews 12, verse 16. It's on page 951. It says, "So that there is no fornicator, nor profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright." You can see there that Esau was a profane person, a fornicator and a profane person. If you look down to the site or footnote 4b, it says profane means to cross the threshold of what is holy outside of the law of Yahweh, to pollute or violate. From the third book of Israel, chapter 22, verse 100 through 106, Pastor says, "Profane means to lower in status, esteem, quality, and character. It corrupts the person to cause deterioration or lowering in quality of character. There becomes a loss of possession, that is, of your mental capacity. You lose possession of it. It also brings your worth down, your value down, and your dignity down to almost nothing." From verse 103 says, "Profane means effectiveness by allowing an entrance of fault or defect into the body, like a disease." Okay, a disease brings curses into your body. I'm reading this from an authoritative book on this word profane. Moral deterioration. One even said on this that it affects the dreams and thoughts of a person's mind. Verse 106. Profane thoughts, the thoughts and influences of the mind through sensual indulgence. This is what this definition is speaking of. Okay? And this describes Esau. Okay, this is what Esau was. He was a profane person, as we read in verse 16. "Now for one morsel of food." Well, what does that mean? One morsel of food. It wasn't that he was so hungry, you know, he needed something to eat, and So he despised the birthright because that's what he wanted. Okay? No, this is for a taste of something. Let's turn to Genesis 3. Pastor always hits on this scripture. Genesis 3, verse 1 through 5, it says, verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any beast of the field which Yahweh had made. And she said to the woman, 'Has Yahweh indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" Let's skip down to verse 3. "But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Yahweh has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, or you will die." That's saying that if you partake of that tree, then you will die. Also in Isaiah 3:10, let's turn there. Isaiah 3. It says, say to the righteous, it will be well with them, for they will eat the fruit of their doings. Okay, so this is talking about, it's not a physical taste, but it's more of wanting something, okay? Esau wanted that taste of sin. He wanted to see what it was like to be part of the world. And as you see in Hebrews, let's go back to Hebrews 12. Verse 17, it says, "For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no way for repentance, though with tears he sought it out." Okay, so you see that he wanted that, he wanted the blessing, he wanted that reward, but he had already sinned, so there was nothing he could do to get it back. Now let's look at Jacob. If we could turn to Genesis 25, verse 27. It says, "But Jacob was a quiet man, staying among the tents." Jacob was a quiet man. The word quiet, in the King James Version, it's the word plain. And if you look that up, it means perfect, upright, all those things. And it says, staying among the tents. That word, that's talking about he stayed around those who wore the tallits. Okay, if you look it up, this is what it means. It means he stayed around those who wore the tallits. So Jacob stayed in the house of Yahweh, and he was learning the laws from the priest. If you look at side note R3, it says, Jacob became a student of Yahweh's law. So Jacob got his reward. Jacob got his reward, but Esau despised it. If you look here, despised the birthright. You see the number? Also, Esau is Edom. Edom means red. And that's talking about blood. The blood of war, as we've seen earlier, which is 666. Despise. Despise is to regard with contempt or scorn, or to dislike intensely. So he totally didn't want it, okay? But let's be like Jacob, and we need to see the value in what we have now. You know, we're going through different things, but we still need to see the value of what's coming, okay? The kingdom, all these different blessings. We can't even imagine what we're going to receive if we stay strong, buckle down, and practice Yahweh's laws. With that, if everyone will please stand. Let's turn over to the great Khan, Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. We're going to pick up on the continue. And actually, I just want to mention last week's sermon that Pastor gave. Really, all this is a continuation and a, what would you call, a confirmation of that sermon. It was an awesome sermon, and it was great. Yasim, I mean. And it was great to see the greatest teacher in the world back again up here again, right? Wasn't it? Okay, so can I have my first slide? Now, as soon as last If you remember the last time I spoke, we talked about Genesis 10 and that number 1998 and how it tied into 666 because it's 666 times 3. Next slide, please. No sooner had I got off stage, and this appears on the Drudge Report. Was 1998 one of the trashiest years in American pop culture history? And of course, it went through, you know, like Pastor said, Bill Clinton, President Clinton, he's not the problem. You know, it's the system that's teaching this God worship. Okay? And it talked about a lot of events that occurred in 1998 and how it was very morally trashed out. So I have an answer to the question that they asked. Can you show the next slide? There's a time that it came out the same day, 1/6/18, as soon as services were over. Next shot. And here's your answer. Here's your answer. Now, there's Yahweh's answer. Okay, yes, it was. You know, the fullness of sin has come. And can I have my next slide? Because Babel is falling. Okay, this Babylon is falling. This system has failed. How could it work? It doesn't have Yahweh in it anywhere. Okay, this new world order is really a world of disorder. It has nothing to do with any kind of order. So next slide. On 12/23, I mentioned this nebula, the Carina Nebula. And it's not the nebula with the number H8666. It's something shooting through that nebula. It's a jet stream, they call it. There's a picture of it. That's from the NASA website from 6 December 2017, which is 12/6, or in European date time, 6/12. Because they use the first day, they'd use day then month. So 6/12 or 12/6, however you add it up, it's 666. And it's showing us something here. That was their picture of the day on that date. Can I go to the next slide? Now, this is from National Optical Astronomy Observatory website. HH666 is known as the Axis of Evil. That's not interesting. They call it the Axis of Evil in the Carina Nebula. Thought that was an interesting choice of words. Y'all remember the Axis of Evil speech President Bush gave in 2002, mentioning North Korea, Iran, and Iraq as the Axis, original Axis powers, they called them? Can we go to the next slide? Now, this was taken from Astronomy Observatory magazine from May 2004. It's volume 127, number 5, from May 2004. So can I have my next slide? So that's 5104, May 1st, 2004. Notice. Y'all see that? Euphrates. Okay, a river, including the Euphrates or the Nile. That's 5104. That's the date that this article originally came out. Remember, they showed the picture on NASA, but it's from an article from 5104. Can I have my next slide? Now, from May 1st, 2004 to December 6, 2017, when they put that picture up, you have that many number of days, 4967. Can I have the next slide? Now notice that. It means slaughter. It means butchery of animals or humans for sacrifice or slaughter, destruction. Like the sheep destined for slaughter, it says, or the day of destruction, the day of slaughter. Now you should all remember what that number is for slaughter. Can we have the next slide? Remember the slaughter of the great that's fixing to take place. That pastor's been warning us about for years now. Okay, can I have my next slide? Now, from that Axis of Evil article, they show the axis running. You see that line there running through the nebula? HH666 Jet, it says. That's the Axis line right there, and it runs right through. Can I have a next slide? Right through that eye-looking thing, that conspicuous eye-looking thing on that nebula, okay? Right dead center through it. Next slide. Kind of reminded me of this picture. The axis of evil, there's Iran on the right, Iraq on the left, and of course North Korea would be over to the east, just straight on that axis line, actually. But notice, Iraq and Iran, the axis of evil there, with a nuclear baby standing there. Can I have my next slide? And remember how the nuclear baby is tied into 612? Didn't Pastor say June 12th, 2007, this baby would be born? Did you ever hear him change anything about 612? You ever hear any changes? Next slide. Well, when you launch a nuke, you're going to have some major problems. Okay, and that's what's fixing to take place in this area. We've already seen a massive slaughter of people since 9/11, you know, since the 9/11 event and the invasion of Iraq. And remember where Babylon started? Does everybody remember? It was in Iraq, the Garden of Eden, right? And so that's where you start to see this fall. Go back and read the sermons Pastor gave 27 years ago this year about the wars in the Middle East. And he'll give you step by step how this took place and how it's going to take place. Can I have the next slide? So here's the picture again. Here's how it looks before you flip it around, and we're going to look at this axis line and we're going to see what's there. Go ahead and next slide. Now look closely at the dead center there. You'll see a very conspicuous looking thing there. Go ahead and show the next slide. You see that? You'll see the nuclear baby, his face is blackened about halfway. And there's a hand, this ugly looking claw-like hand holding it up. And you see below him the golden altar. And it's gold, we didn't color it. That's the color. Okay, that's the actual color. And it's like a nuclear explosion, and you see the baby's face and that claw-like hand being held up, because that's going to be, this represents this slaughter, this altar of death that Pastor's been telling us about. By the way, I need to show you something over here on the monitor, if somebody's... Pastor's September 12th prophecy in 2006. Go ahead. It was on a Tuesday, September 12th, 2006. Well, June 12th falls on a Tuesday this year in 2018. That's the number of days. Key in on the weeks. Isn't that amazing? 613, and not even a day or one day less or one day before. Now you see that nuclear baby on the golden altar. Can I go to the next slide? Pastor says, well, here now, and this is from the 12th book, part 1, chapter 1, verse 64. Pastor talks about this. He says, well, here now in Daniel 8, you see the little horn leading the fourth beastly system that was put together by four leading powers. And you remember the four, the ruling religions, 666? Well, here now in verse 8 of Daniel 7, you see these horns. The horns, of course, these are the same four horns that are represented by the four horns of the altar of death, that golden altar, where all the sacrifices were done by the trillions. And that, of course, is what we've seen from this system. This system has murdered millions and millions, trillions. Can I have my next slide? You see that? The altar of death. You see why Pastor cries when he talks about it? Next slide, please. Because that altar of death is bathed in blood. It's bathed in blood. It's bathed in the blood of prophets. It's bathed in the blood of saints. And it's bathed in the blood of all that have been slain on this earth. Can I have my next slide? Let's go into part two here. Let's see, where is this deception coming from? You know, these damnable worldly holidays, Christmas and Easter, the worship of the sun god, Baal. Next slide, please. Now, I want you to go through this book. On page 36, Pastor says this calendar, I need a screen, or I need this right here. He said it is a moon-sun calendar that the Pope gave us, Pope of Rome. It's called a moon-sun calendar. That's the one that the Jews are presently using. It's called a moon-sun calendar. The world's calendar is strictly a solar calendar. The Jewish calendar, they mixed it with moon-sun. Can I have the next slide? No, sorry, back up. Go to moon-sun. There you go. Everybody see that? Page 78 of this book, Deceptions Concerning Yahweh's Calendar of Events, Pastor talks about these Feasts of Balaam. Balaam is plural for Baal because Baal is known by many other names. Here it is right here. Balaam, okay. Can I have my next slide? Notice the Feast of Balaam. This Feast of Blood. Okay, you think Baal has a feast of anything but blood? Their sacrifice, their feast. Now, let me go to the next. Hold on before you move the slide. On page 86, right here, Pastor says because they're using that calendar that Yahweh didn't give them, they're keeping their own feast. Their own feast. Next slide. Their feast, 666. And he says that they're being guided, right here, again, that they're being guided by the sun gods and sun goddesses. Goddesses, that's who they're seeking their guidance from. Can I have my next slide? Be guided by a god, 666. Can I have the next slide? They denied Yahweh. Six, six, six. Next slide. Denied God, Yahweh for the Canaanite God El. 666. Next slide. Baal is also a Canaanite God. Baal, a Canaanite God. 666. Bear with me. Now, this sacred pole they use, you know, like they have in D.C. sitting up there for everyone to see. You know, the first time we went to D.C., that thing looked, I can't tell you how evil that thing actually looks when you know what we know. And, you know, the more you stand around it and look at it, I think the sicker you feel. I mean, we were told, don't go in that thing. Whatever you do, do not go in there, okay? Because you can go in that thing. Pastor calls it, in the book, on page 88. Now, this book was written in 1988. Do you know that? This book was written in 1988. Okay? He calls it a cult object. The pole. Next slide. Cult object. 666. He says that they were putting poles on page 90, these sacred poles near the altar, setting them up around the altar, which the law forbid them to do. Next slide. Poles near the altar. 666. Following the law of the sun. Can we have the next one? The statutes of the sun. 666. which made them what's called a sun cult. Yes, they're a cult. Next slide. Yes, they're a sun cult because they worship the sun. They're not going by the moon like Yahweh told them to. They're not looking for the moon of green ears, the lunar cycle. What they're going is by a sun cycle, which is the cycle of sin. Okay? Has nothing to do with Yahweh. Now, my next, don't go to the next slide yet. I got to set it up. Let's see. That's called, might help if I put my glasses on. Yeah, okay, here we go. On page 96, there's that detestable thing that brings desolation. It's called a gnomon. It's associated with the Egyptian sun god Ra. The Greeks called it a gnomon, okay? Right here, it's called the gnomon, or one who knows. That's what determined the feast and the equinoxes and solstices there for the non-believers. Can I have my next slide? The gnomon, 666. Gee, what a coincidence, huh? So you want to be part of this damnable system that the great deacon just told us about? We want to take the valuable things that Yahweh gave us out into the world and use the talents that Yahweh blessed us with, thinking we're going to receive anything but death? I know nobody here would do that. Pastor says that on page 93, can I have a little help here? Let's see, okay. He says, these stones that were around this pole, they called them a bond, which means something minutely measured off for desolations. You know, they had the pole, and then they had the stones measured around it, and that's how they determined solstices and equinoxes and times and things for their feasts. Okay? It has nothing to do with Yahweh. Can I have my next slide? Obelisk was something minutely measured off for desolations. 666. All about the god Amun-Ra. Next slide. 666. Next slide. The Thebes. This thing was taken from Thebes, Egypt, associated with the god Amun-Ra. 666. Next slide. It was given by this calendar that the world goes by. It was given by the Pope's decree. Pope's decree, 666. Can I have my next slide? Look at this. New Prophetic Word magazine. Billions and billions more dying, murdered on this golden altar. Next slide. Look at the bottom there. The bitter dead end. You see that dead end sign? Bitter dead end. 666. Next slide. Pastor talked about the abortions last week, and he talks about it in this magazine. You want to get on the pill? Well, there you go. 666. Next slide. Or maybe you want to cut up a baby for body parts? Or maybe you want to sacrifice your babies. Next slide. Sacrifice babies. How many billions have they murdered? Next slide. Their blood is crying. Blood cries. 612. Next slide. Avenged blood. 612. Next slide. Blood of war. 666. Next slide. Blood of all the saints. 666. Next slide. Bind at the altar. 612. Next slide. Bind sacrifice. 612. Next slide. Come and eat the flesh of men. Remember Revelation 19? 612. Next slide. Come to the feast of Baal. 612. Next slide. All these lying preachers. Next slide. Preacher of Baal. 666. All these lying preachers that are not standing up and they don't have a backbone to stand against this murder? Next slide. There you go, the four angels, the quartet, 612. Next slide, final slide. Quartet, 612. Are you seeing a connection? 612, 666, this system of death that's bringing destruction and we're fixing to see a great slaughter. I'm not giving dates. I'm just telling you to consider what you've seen, and may Yahweh bless your understanding. And at this time, if you'd all please stand, I'd like to turn it over now to the great Kohan Yehuda Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. And while you're getting all set, please turn to page 775 in your Book of Yahweh. I think you'll find this carries on where the great Kohan just left off. And that's the way it should be. We're going to look at Yochanan Mark 13, verse 28, page 775. In the Book of Yahweh. Now the Christians have their own concept of this. And I don't know. We'll talk about other things. I don't want to talk too long about silly things. But there are some silly things they're doing. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch has become tender and puts out leaves, you know that summer is near. Well, I guess that means we can all go fishing. I don't know. But anyway, this scripture, written in Greek, and most Bible translations use that, of course, it doesn't tell you what's really saying there. The word parable that is written in Yochanan Mark 13:28, typo on my own page, is translated from the Hebrew word mashal. This word is listed on pages 880 and 881 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament, but Julius First, which shows this word means Yahweh, to judge or to speak. The word. The words fig tree that are written in Yochanan Mark 13:28 are translated from the Hebrew word and not named Tana. I know there are individuals who have the name Tana. That is a very legitimate name. It's the feminine form of Nathan. Or Nathaniel. We're not talking about that one. It's a different spelling. A Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, pages 120 and 1455, shows this word means to cause, to come to pass. That's very important. The word branch, here's a big one, that is written in Yochanan Mark 13:28, is translated from the Hebrew word dalit. This word is listed on page 329 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, which for this word means branch, waving to and fro, like that. To deliver. Yahweh is your deliverer. The word tender that is written in Yochanan Mark 13:28 is translated from the Hebrew word rak. Resh Kap. This word is listed on page 1478 of Volume 2 of the Hebrew Aramaic English Dictionary by Marcus Jastrow, which shows this word means soft or persuasive speech. We don't get up here and stomp around hollering like a banshee or anything. We get up here and just talk to you straightforward. And that's what this is saying. The word leaves that is written in Yochanan Mark 13:28 is translated from the Hebrew word zamaka, zamaka. Sorry, pronunciation a little difficult with a dry mouth. This word is listed on page 1196, need to get my glasses, of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament, but Julius First, which shows this word means the sprout of Yahweh, that is the remnant of the people purified and made holy. The word summer that is written in Yochanan Mark 13:28 is translated from the Hebrew word kitz. It can be kutz also, but a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius First, pages 1236 and 1251, shows this word means to make an end of, to reach the extreme point. So this is what Yochanan 13:28 is saying. Now learn the word of Yahweh that will be caused to come to pass. When the branch, waving leaves to and fro, softly speaks words of persuasion so that the remnant of Yahweh's people are purified and become holy, you know that the final end is near. The interesting thing about this is Yahshua had the wisdom and understanding, and he spoke in Hebrew, by the way. He had the wisdom and understanding to tell his people that there would be someone called the branch that would be in the last days waving those leaves to and fro softly speaking persuading words to purify you and to make you holy. And when you see that world, you better know the final end is about to come. Final end. We know, well, we talked about the branch. What about the final end? You just heard talk about it from the last speaker. And this is not a criticism. This is a point out. This is a very important thing. You know these things are coming. When you see a man doing this, persuading you to be separate and become holy. The final end. There was one before this. There was one. When was the final end before? Or something of that type? Noah, you're right. Give that man a can of Coke. And thank you. I always need all the help I can get. I don't care what anyone thinks. The final end, there was one that we saw. It is written in Genesis. Noah, turn to page 6 in your book of Yahweh. Page 6. By the way, how could Yahshua have known? How could we have known these two scriptures are related? The word final end, but there's more than that. Both of them have the Aleph Tau Atbash code. They are linked. Genesis 6, verse 17 on page 6 of your book of Yahweh. And behold, I myself am bringing the flood of waters upon the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which the breath of life is. Oh, the printer was really light there. Everything and all on the earth shall die. Total destruction. The final end. The first one in Scripture. I mean, you're talking about that it's going to come to pass. The words I and myself that are written in Genesis 6, verse 17 are translated from the Hebrew word ani. This word is listed on page 36 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davidson, which shows this word is masculine and therefore has to mean you or yourself. Mankind is the destroyer, not Yahweh. Yahweh's not going to go out there and go boom and everything's gone. Mankind is going to do this. And this is a deep subject about the final end. You know, scientifically, it can be proven the fountains of the deep were broken. That it can be done. It's called fracking. They bust through the rock all the way to the water table. It's causing volcanic unrest in Krakatoa and the Yellowstone National Park. And they're going to blow. But all of it, Yahweh is going to allow. You yourselves are bringing the flood of waters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which the breath of life is. Everything on the earth shall die. You yourselves are causing it, mankind. Yahweh is just going to allow it, because as Romans 15 verse 4 says, these things have occurred and they are chronicled in the book of Yahweh for your learning, that through these scriptures you may have hope and know you do it the way Yahweh says, you will live forever. The final end will not come near you. Psalm 91. This final end won't be a lake of waters like the flood. It'll be a lake of fire. But it won't come near you. And that's how what you just heard, this, and what you're about to hear about the final end that's coming. Yeshua saw there was a man called a branch that would be waving these things. That's how serious Yahweh is. A little bitty thing like this. And Yeshua told everybody, when you see this going on at the house of Yahweh, when it's back, know that the time final end is near. House of Yahweh, get ready. World, may Yahweh open your mind to understanding. And may Yahweh bless your understanding. And I now turn this service over to the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. You know, one of the most important things that we can take with us and we need to remind ourselves continually is that Yahweh showed, the creator of heavens and the earth and all things, Yahweh showed his house the very exact dates that these things would take place. And even the exact location on the banks of the river Euphrates that these things would take place on a certain date. And we have watched it grow just as we were told that we would see these things start, be born, and they would grow. And everything that's been brought this morning and what we're going to show into in the news, this nuclear war is still growing. Remember, nuclear war does not start at the dropping of a bomb. It's like saying that death starts once you die. Death starts when you commit the sin. Nuclear war starts when the planning and the action of putting that goes into play. That's when nuclear war started, and Yahweh showed it. And even scientists are seeing it, because this last week they moved that doomsday clock up a little more till where it's 2 minutes till midnight. Because even the scientist leaders are seeing it. Scientists are seeing it. And how do we know the leaders are seeing it? Well, there's leveraging taking place. Remember, there's planning. And China, don't forget China, because remember, someone had made it, they put out an article that said China was going to become a member of the quartet. Well, they can't, because the quartet is established by prophecy, spoken of in prophecy, and it only mentions four. There won't be a fifth. It's not possible. But remember the planning that China even has, where they're building those islands in the South China Sea, preparing for war. They're working in the East China Sea, preparing for war. They see it coming. Well, China's also trying to build leverage in the Middle East. They're not a big player in the Middle East, but they're trying to do it. Now, keep in mind, China has $3.9 trillion cash reserve. The only country that has over $1 trillion on-hand cash reserve. Well, the United States has come out and said, President Trump has said to Palestine, we will cut your funding. And to all other countries that do not stand behind us in supporting Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, we will cut your funding. Well, what does China do? They're coming out and saying, if the United States cuts your funding, we'll fund you. They're buying leverage. They're bribing. It's a gift. Of course, that's what these things are to begin with. We give you money, you do what we say. You don't do what we say, we'll take it back from you. So it's not really there to help. It's a bribe and a gift. And China's trying to work their way into not just with Palestine, but also with Israel. So pay close attention with this, because there's a lot of proxy wars going on. And a proxy war is where you have this big bully on this side, and you have another big person on this side, and they're fighting through this less powerful person. And that's what we're seeing, because Russia, of course, Ukraine this last month came out with a new policy against Russia, And listen very closely, because it'll explain the policy that Ukraine had come out with. And this is all being backed by the United States. Ukraine is being given weapons from the United States. The things that they're using to fight Russia is from the United States, but they're saying Ukraine is doing it. And Russia has said this is an act of war. And in return, Russia is now running more drills. And now they're saying that this is defense. It's not for attack. It's only to defend Russia. But they're running them more heavily, and they're running them more powerful. In other words, they're putting more weaponry in them, all out force. And even President Putin himself has come to watch these things. And what they're doing, everybody's kind of showing, you know, mess with us, and this is what we have. This is what you'll contend with. But not everybody's showing, you don't show all your cards. You show enough to get the other person thinking about, maybe we shouldn't do this. So there's this battle for position that we see. Of course, United States going through Ukraine. Now, Russia is also, they're sending a ship, and they said the ship just recently left. It's a spy ship. Now, how it's a spy ship, everybody knows it's a spy ship. You think it'd be a secret, but I guess everybody knows. But they're saying it just left the ports of Trinidad and Tobago this last week, and they're saying that it runs up and down the East Coast trying to pick out signals, of course, transmissions. Well, why would you do that unless you're still trying to, you're trying to gain leverage? War is all about leverage. You're trying to get the upper hand on your enemy so you can put your foot on their neck. And that's what these countries are doing. Remember what Daniel said, through peace they will destroy many, because they're claiming they want peace, but they're destroying many. Now also Turkey. Now remember, United States, Turkey says Turkey is an ally. Turkey is also a member of NATO. NATO was created to try to curtail Russia back in the 50s. Well, now you have Russia backing Turkey, and Turkey is now at war with the YPG. That's what Turkey calls a terrorist group. The YPG is in Syria, right there in and around the Great River Euphrates, and it's being funded by the United States. So one more time, you have the United States funding a military group in and around the Great River Euphrates, who is fighting Turkey, who was supposed to be an ally. And Turkey is saying, we know who's funding this. Remember what President Putin said, these are mercenaries. They fight for whoever pays them. Whoever pays them the most is who they fight for. Well, they're fighting for the United States. And Turkey and those YPG, which is funded by the United States, are literally fighting at the border of Turkey. Now, they start dividing off land, and this is very interesting. The map they show, and we'll have more on this next week, the map they're showing, that map they're showing this land that is being separated, the border of that land is the Euphrates River. That's what they're using to separate the north from the south, is the Euphrates River. But you have all of this, and then the leaders themselves, as President Erdogan says, he's the president of Turkey, our patience is running out. We've had all we can take. Now, why is this so important that Turkey's an ally, but the United States has many allies that they treat in an inappropriate way, so to speak? Well, the United States, the Ursulik Air Force Base in Turkey, which is where the United States houses more nuclear weapons than any other place outside of the United States territory. So there's more nuclear weapons in Turkey than anywhere else in the world, the United States, that belongs to them, that is housed outside the United States. That's very important also because Russia has recently been using that very same Air Force base. So notice the frustration of President Erdogan. Notice the frustration of President Putin. Notice the frustration of China's president. Notice this leveraging taking place. Everybody is vying for position. Well, the United States also looking to push these sanctions on Iran, which also brings the EU, the European Union, in opposition to what the United States is doing. All of this vying for position, leaders not agreeing on anything, wars, proxy wars, countries fighting other countries but inside of smaller countries to try to make it look like that we're both trying to defend Syria or we're trying to defend Iran, but they're actually fighting each other. And then it closes with this, and this is very important. Because Daniel spoke of these things, about how they would divide the land for gain. They would divide the land for gain. Now, Pastor spoke about this democracy and what this democracy would bring. Now, General Mattis, who's the Secretary of Defense, he left one last message, and he was speaking to China and to Russia. And he says, those who would threaten America's experiment in democracy, they must know if you challenge us, it will be your longest and your worst day. Now, those are not words of peace. Those are words of prophecy coming to pass. And one thing to keep in mind, the operation that they have over there with Turkey combating the YPG, they've called it Operation Olive Branch, which is very interesting in itself. So pay close attention and watch this leveraging the divide for gain, and through peace they are destroying many. At this time, if we could please play the news. At this time, if everyone would please stand. Now, Turkey has the Operation Olive Branch. Well, here we're beating our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks, and we have an operation called Chosen Branch. So at this time, we'd like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisroel Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Praise Yahweh. Come on. You may be seated. It's a beautiful day, but Yahweh be with you. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. May health be with each and every one of you. We're praying for those who are sick. Don't forget, right, put that on your list. Me, myself, and I, if you notice, is a 666. Start praying for others, please. If I can find my place here, there's so much news, it's hard to keep up with it. And it's hard to get it covered, too. There's a meeting, I got to tell you this first, a meeting this third day. We're trying to get the names of gods out of our mouth. This third day at 6 p.m., these people are great gossipers. So it would help if you can attend. Now, this is for women only this week, third day, 6 p.m. These people, they are getting a different impression now from the house of Yahweh than I've ever seen before. So Yahweh is lifting us up in their eyes, and they're most anxious to meet you. They'll leave here telling that this group is not what it all was painted out to be by the news, that they are a peaceful, loving, law-abiding citizens. They want us on their side. We want them to. We want them on Yahweh's side. It wouldn't hurt. They're probably doing it already, but it wouldn't hurt to mention the Facebook, the news programs, how to pick it up on your own television or radio or whatever. This could be something they'd gossip about too. The news release this week was a winner. It's up to 67,000 newspapers running it already. The Savior said, I get this, the Savior said the love of many, or the many, would grow cold at a set time. And Yisroel Hawkins explains the latest post, in the latest post. If you notice these news, and the 666, we've got to get... And the correction of the mistranslated scriptures, they're trying to make Yahweh look bad. That's the reason for it. If you noticed in the news this week, the strange time. You know, we're working on a new calendar, the sacred calendar. To bring it out, well, it just so happened that they brought forth a calendar from the Dead Sea Scrolls of a group that split from the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. I brought that out in the book that the great Kohan Benjamin Krauss have him covering right now, Yahweh's calendar of events. And they brought this, you know, this was an argument back in the days when we were still in Abilene on 10B Lane. And they was trying to say the name wasn't pronounced Yahweh. They're lying, of course. But there was a German version that was put out. I think it was put out to deceive because we could find no source for it at all. But you got to remember that these people were splitting off from the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians who were bringing forth God worship. So they were splitting. They were going out to other places. They would send the armies after them. They knew this was going to get wiped out, so they hid these scrolls in caves. They knew this was going to get killed because they didn't want to submit to God worship. And they didn't realize that themselves that they were cut off from Yahweh. The prophets had already told them, your sins have cut you off. You're going to be like blind men groping in the dark. But they didn't take heed. They're not taking heed to the warning Yahweh is sending them today either. The news is the news stories and Facebook. It's reaching quite a few people out there, and they sent me some of the nations that I'm unfamiliar with, but they tell me they're in and around the great river Euphrates, if you've ever heard that. Isn't that something that a prophecy was written in 96? 96 AY. 96, that's almost 2,000 years ago, that the wars would start on a certain date in and around the great river Euphrates in that fourth part of the earth. And we brought that out loud and clear. Now, even an idiot should be able to figure out that a man cannot predict the future like that. That was written in 96 and didn't come true until 2000. 1900s, late 1900s and 2000. And it's still right there in the place Yahweh said it would be at this time. Until the great burning takes place. Well, we're reaching the people. We're reaching Yahweh's people. After the burning, we'll be gathering Yahweh's people. After the sun is darkened. But it says, Pastor is the greatest teacher in the world. I know they heard that from the great Kohan Shaul. I know they did, and they repeated it. And these are the things that we want them to gossip about, of course. But this came from... Well, I can't even pronounce it. Well, anyway, it's somewhere over there in and around the great river Euphrates. Another one says, praise Yahweh, following in South Sudan. Don't really know where that is, except it's over there too. Put on the sound. I think we were having a little bit of trouble with sound, and they were correcting us at that time. So we got the best sound crew in the world, I can guarantee you. They're the best in the world because Satan is trying to play tricks with it, with our sound. I called the Matthews this morning to see if it was up and running. They said it was much better, but we did have trouble last week, and they let us know about it. The audience from Sudan let us know about it. That's a pretty great travel from there here, and got here and our people fixed it in a hurry. I mean almost instantly, and got it back on the air. That's part of the sickness and disease that Trump was naming last week, coming from the doctors that's supposed to make you well. Yeah, laughing all the way to the bank. This one is better on the website. Oh, it's better on the website, they said, than here. This was all last week. It's better on the website. Distractions, no distractions, praise Yahweh. And one more I want to read you. Thank you, Pastor Hawkins. That's one great sermon. Wow. May Yahweh bless you, praise Yahweh. These are the comments we're getting from in and around the great river Euphrates in that fourth part of the earth. That part and all the others too. Let's see. Well, that's something else. This calendar that they're trying to push forward in the news, it shows that they knew that they were trying to bring to change the calendars at that time. This proves it. These people who they murdered all of them. The hill there in Israel, I forget the name of the hill.
Masada.
What?
Masada.
I've been there. I've been up there. I've seen how those people stored food and lived and stored water and so forth. But it didn't stop the Roman army. They were out to wipe out everyone who kept the feast or wouldn't submit to the God worship that was being put forth. Part of it was that calendar. And of course, these people, they did the best they could with the calendar they had. But we proved back then in this book, Yahweh's Calendar of Events, that's the reason that book was written, to get rid of a lot of this deception that was taking place about the feast, the name, and so forth. Well, now it's coming forth, and of course we got the work going on that brings you the things that Yahweh says is 666, which is the number of Cain, the mark of Cain, the mark of the beast, as Daniel said. And of course, it's come down to us now, and the calendar is filled with God worship. Follow the gods. Be evil like the gods. That's the first three chapters of Genesis. And of course, Cain was the first pope that brought forth God worship, and it hasn't stopped and won't stop until they destroy themselves. And of course, they'll try to blame Yahweh for that too. They'll try to say, you know, that Yahweh caused the nuclear bombs to kill all these people. He caused it. Like he caused the floods. Well, the great Kohen Yehuda is working on scriptures that show when you get them right, you can see the deception they put in those scriptures in the kings in the versions to make out like that Yahweh was a jealous God, so he's going to destroy everyone that didn't keep his commandments. In fact, Yahweh was a loving creator. He warned mankind, don't follow this way. It's going to bring you the nuclear bomb that will darken the sun and burn mankind with few men left. It's going to do it. You're going to do this to yourselves if you don't repent. That's Yahweh's warning. Well, the warning, of course, is taken lightly. If you warn a person, if you warn your son, you know, don't be running these stop signs. If you're driving a car, don't be running stop signs. Don't be running red lights. If you see a caution, don't try to beat it. You'll get yourself killed, hurt or killed. I remember one time on the police department, back in my younger, stupider days, we went into a family disturbance house, and the man was pretty tough, and he said, there's two of us, and of course his wife, he had beat her up, she finally got free, left, we went into the house, he said, I'll whoop the both of you, and I said, well, think this over before you do. Now, you could hurt us, but that's not the end of a police force. And I said, or you could get hurt yourself, but if you resist arrest, that's going to be more charges against you. Can you just think about that for a few minutes? Now, if I hit you upside the head with this flashlight that I had, which is about yay long, I said, you know, you could get brain damage. Now, I'm warning you for your own sake. If you don't submit and go to jail, that's where I'm going to have to take you. But if you don't submit and go to jail, whether you whip us or not, you may get hurt, but the charges that comes against you could send you to prison for the rest of your life. Is that where you want to go? I said. He held out his hands. I would the world was that easy, but it's not. Anyway, we took him to jail, and I don't know what occurred after that, but it was better than what he intended to be at the time. A wise person, if you told a wise person, you know, that's driving heavy machinery, don't be playing around with this heavy machinery. You know, that should be enough. A word to the wise. That's what Solomon said. A word to the wise. Then they should think about it, and they would stop playing around with heavy equipment or with prank pulling, which always gets people hurt. I know one guy that got his eye put out. Know another that got some teeth knocked out. I've experienced some of this, you know, and I remember these things. If you would just take a warning and think about it, and think, you know, what is going to take place. You don't know what the other person is going to do. If he's driving heavy equipment and you're driving heavy equipment and you start riding his back tire, you know, you could kill, both of you could be killed. If you can't think, maybe you could slap yourself on the face or something. Throw some cold water in your face, you know. But get your brain to working. That's how dumb and stupid you are if you don't take the word of the wise and lead your life appropriately. Change your life to fit it. You're just plain stupid. You are just plain stupid if you don't start thinking after we speak to you, or even before we speak to you. You should be able to figure some of this out on your own. But this proves how stupid you are. Do you want to remain that way? If you do, you'll have trouble all of your life. Or you could start growing up. You know, you could start, even at 4 years old, you could start figuring out, hey, I want to be righteous instead of this dumb cluck that I am. Well, this was Cain. Cain was warned. Yahweh warned him and Abel too. Abel took the warning. Cain didn't take the warning. In fact, the God worshipers are still bringing it on. And now they have this nuclear bomb that will darken the sun in this generation. That is a 100% fact. It's going to darken the sun in this generation right now. It started in 1934. It's going to end in this generation that started in 1934. Now, unless you're just plain stupid, unless you don't want to accept truth at all, you would know that a prophecy that was given in 96, 2,000 years ago, that we would have a bomb that could darken the sun in this generation. And the fight would start, this wars would start that's going to lead up to this. And if you notice these world leaders, they're all pointing towards this great nuclear war. Kissinger was on the news again. And of course, he's the depopulation expert of the Pope. He and the Pope are hand in hand. Malachi Martin told about all of this before he died. Yeah, in his book, The Keys of This Blood, Yochanan, with the words of Yahshua Messiah, our high priest, told about it in 96 A.Y. It's going to start on a certain date, he said, in and around the great river Euphrates, in that fourth part of the earth. Daniel in chapter 9 gives you event after event after event and gives you the dates on it. And I covered all of this in the Mark of the Beast. I was told, I think it was Mueller. He used to come to my house, by the way. He's a rich man, owned Mueller Steel. Him and his wife used to come and visit me. Before Yahweh started the work of Yahweh. In fact, he wanted me to build him an airport to fly his plane on that property, the homestead property. He and his wife used to come to see me. And he said, one out of 10,000 people want to improve themselves. One out of every 10,000. He said, you can't get more than that. He said, try it. You test it out. He said, these tests are concrete. You can't get more than one person out of every 10,000 that wants to improve themselves. And then those, you can't get 1% out of that 10,000 that wants to improve themselves in a righteous improvement. So it keeps going down, it keeps dwindling. Yeshua said, even on his house, he said, 3 out of 4 is going to fall away. Yeshua himself gave the warnings that there would be a bomb here in this generation, right now. This generation that would darken the sun. And he said, that generation is not going to pass away. It's going to be just like Noah. The generation of Noah. Noah was 500 years old when he started preaching. Yeah. He preached over 100 years, warning the people. And nobody but his family listened to him. His immediate family. Well, Yahweh is giving the warning, and he gave the warning in the beginning, the life and death warnings. In Israel, the top leader said, when we were visiting him in the Knesset, I think it was the Knesset, we were visiting with him, and I was showing him what was going to be in the future. That was my job. And I showed many, many dignitaries. We have pictures of all this. You know, I visited with them. People come here from a foreign country and see this, and they say, I can't believe this man visited this many people. It would take you hundreds of years to visit this many people in Israel, get appointments with them. Well, of course, they got appointments with me, and I went to see them and show, and we witnessed to them. And he said, he let me get through, and he said, I don't believe that there's such a thing as a God. Well, I never did use the name God. I was using the name Yahweh, but he wouldn't use it. But he said, I don't believe there's such a thing as a God. He said, if there's such a thing as a God with power, why would he let all these children get slaughtered like they're being slaughtered right now? Well, of course, you know the answers. I took time. I stopped right then, and I took the time to answer this man, but he kept cutting me off after that. He didn't want to hear the truth. I don't know where he is now or how he's doing, but at that time, it was a weak situation that we was looking at. Well, Yahweh did warn his people, and he gave them great warning. And we see this in Genesis 1. And now, you got to understand from the rest of the scriptures and get this in your mind that this universe was created, Yahweh created the universe before he created the earth. There was trouble in the universe. There still is trouble in the universe. NASA actually sees wars going on right now. And I brought this out in the book, There's Someone Out There. Also in the book, I believe it's in The Nuclear Baby. But I brought it out how these people, these beings out there, are having trouble. And Yahweh shows that the reason he created the earth was he created it for mankind. But it wasn't given to mankind immediately. He had to prove a point first. Prove a point with a bunch of rebellious sons who wouldn't take a warning. And that's what we get from the rest of the scriptures. But we see what they brought in the first two verses of Genesis there. Now, it's here a little and there a little. And I want you to remember these words. That's Isaiah 28. You should be really familiar with it. But Yahweh said, I put it this way, here a little and there a little, so they would go and stumble and fall backwards. Well, why? Because it's not Yahweh doing it. It's because they won't humble themselves. Yahweh said, I'll only have 7 works. I won't have a work that is not prophesied. Does anyone know where that scripture is? Hold up your hands. Oh, all of you do. Praise Yahweh. Amos 3:7. I won't have a work that is not prophesied. My works are prophesied here in black and white. I'm telling you the prophecy, and I'm putting it in black and white for you to read. The written word, he calls it, the book of Yahweh. Alive, a living book, a living book. Yes, you'd be surprised how living this is and how it enters your mind to those who will humble themselves. But he said, you won't, and Yeshua said this, you won't humble yourself and go to the one sent. So you'll stumble and fall backwards trying to figure this out yourself. You can't do it. It takes a lifetime of training and interference, constant interference with Yahweh, to ever get a person to where they can start putting this thing together. You can't do it. And if you take the Bible and read it through, then you read it through again, and you read it through again, which I did, you'll remember some. With the helps we have today, it makes it easier, but you can get so confused even with those helps because they bring forth Christianity, like this group is trying to say, well, now the name is something else. No, we covered that 40 years ago in Abilene. It's all in the books. Those confusing points that these people are bringing out is already covered. It's there for them to read. But they will not come to me that they might be saved. They will stumble and fall backwards and be snared and taken. That's what Isaiah 28 shows. The very first commandment is, go to the place. Go to the place that I choose, that Yahweh chooses to place His name. It's prophesied. It's got to be prophesied. Well, they were having trouble in heaven. Big time trouble, as the scripture shows. Big time trouble. In fact, after so many years, and you can count these years, He gave the same kind to mankind to prove the same thing to them. That's where you get your figure for the time the earth was created. Now the earth became, it became, and this is not a mistranslation. We have checked this out with every manuscript. There's no mistranslations here. It became without form and empty and darkness was upon the face of the deep. It became. Yahweh didn't cause it. It became. The waters from the earth opened its mouth and let them come out. The waters from above came down, and we had a flood. And you don't even need the book of Yahweh to prove this. They have books on the market called the flood. And you can get this and read it, and you can tell from the layers of the earth that there was two floods came on this earth, flooding the whole thing. It's no hoax. It can be proven. Empty. The earth became empty. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of Yahweh, you know what the Spirit is. I wonder how many people in the whole world would ever know what the Spirit was. Well, here's where He tells you. Now, the Word of Yahweh is going to move over this earth and take over this earth. Yes. 662, Yochanan. Spirit of Yahweh was hovering over the face of the waters, ready to go to work. That's this living Bible here, the living book of Yahweh, that Yahweh is shepherding. And not one of these is going to fail, He said. And I'm going to put it in writing for you. I'm going to put it in writing so you can check me out and know that none of these are going to fail. Find one that's ever failed. You can't do it. Thousands of years ago, they wrote it, and it's coming to pass. And Yahweh said, let there be light. Well, of course, that's what we're bringing now, the laws of Yahweh, and in a written form, and He set it in motion. Well, we see the prophesied trouble, and surely the destruction of the earth coming again. Lying proven twice, even after it was proven twice, we see it coming again because the people would not take the warning. So we see it. And now we see we're hunting for why. Why the flood? Look at chapter 6. We see the warning here. We see in chapter verses 1 and 2, we see that there was a flood. We see that Yahweh then put man upon the earth. And then here we see another flood coming in chapter 6. I told David, I said, you've got to make this plain, you know, that Yahweh didn't cause this flood. We're dealing with an earth that is alive. Biology will tell you that this earth is alive. We know more and more that this earth is alive as our microscopes gets stronger and stronger. Yahweh gave the knowledge, and He gave the warning. Turn over to Hebrews and look at what the apostle said about this great warning that Yahweh gave, and how those believed without seeing, and that's what That's what makes you different from anybody in the world, is that you believe without seeing. You believe Yahweh. Well, of course, we're seeing through Yahweh's Spirit, of course. We're seeing that these things, just like I told you, 96 was when that prophecy is written. You can't predict the future. You might predict it, but you can't predict it accurately. Just try it. Try it. Anyone can try it. It's impossible for mankind. He doesn't have that knowledge yet. He's going to be given that knowledge. Yahweh will give it to you, but the only way you're going to get it is to humble yourself and come to the one sent. Go to the place where He chooses to place His name. Praise Yahweh. Now, in chapter 11 of Hebrews, in verse 7, look at this. Because of the faith, Noah, having warned, being warned by Yahweh of the things not as yet seen, not as yet seen now, but he warned Noah there's going to be a flood take place here. Now, he was speaking, of course, of a live earth that was actually made for mankind, that had rain coming down, on the earth, had it fixed to where it would rain to bring forth crops from the ground. These crops that it's bringing forth is live microorganisms. Get this in your mind. He made mankind from the dust of the earth. He formed mankind from the microorganisms of the earth. That's how He formed you. The same microorganisms that comes up into a corn stalk, into your wheat stalk. So what He formed you of is what you're getting from the earth, and you're eating this, and it forms your body into the being that can enjoy life, speak to others, train others, use similitudes, and so forth. That's all shown in the first book of Yahweh, and I don't know if I brought that out in the Mark of the Beast or not, but I know I've brought it out. That forming this in your eye alone, your eye, where I can see you and you can see me, there are literally thousands of kingdoms, not just microorganisms, but kingdoms of microorganisms that form that eye, that make it possible for me to see you and you to see me. You get that from the dust of the earth. If you don't get it from the dust of the earth, your eyes start dimming. Your body starts depleting. The earth now was formed of these things. It's living. It was made for man. You've got to get this in your mind. If the earth is not taken care of, if it's mistreated, if you don't take care of your body, which came up from the earth and is feeding from the earth continually, if you start feeding the earth blood from hatred and violence, if you start feeding your body the same thing, what would occur? You remember the scripture now that said, don't eat blood? Put it together. The earth is made from the same thing that you're made from. But you're made into a body that can talk and communicate and enjoy life to the fullest. Now, I've pointed out many times that everything Yahweh created enjoys life. He made it to where it can enjoy life. The earth is enjoying itself, or was, until the blood that Cain shed upon the earth, and it had to drink that blood. the earth started getting sick. And Yahweh said, you're cursed from the earth. You're cursed from the earth because you're not taking care of the earth, and the earth can't take care of you. He's going to feed you back this blood you're shedding. So your body is going to start dying. Dying, you will die, he said. Don't do this, or dying, you will die. Now, back to Hebrews here, 11, verse 7. Because of the faith, the faith is this whole book of Yahweh here. And Yahweh was teaching this to two people, or training two priests to bring this forth. Being warned by Yahweh of things not as yet seen, warned, that was the warning. Don't do this. Don't do this. You're going to make your body sick and it's going to be dying. Don't play around with heavy equipment. You could kill yourself instantly. Don't run stop signs. Don't run red lights. Is that the father's fault when a son runs a red light and gets himself killed? When the father is trying to warn him, don't be doing it. Father Yahweh was warning, don't run these stop signs. If you do, dying, you're going to die. By Yahweh, being warned by Yahweh of things not as yet seen, moved with reverence, and prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world for not believing, and became, just like I'm condemning the world right now, I'm saying these bombs that you've created, they're going to darken the sun. They're going to burn the earth. There's only going to be a handful of people left. This is what you're bringing. Yahweh is not going to cause this war. He's warning you, just like he warned Adam, Eve, the whole group that he started into motion at that time with the Spirit of Yahweh, the teaching of Yahweh's words to them in the so-called garden. Hope you remember the work I did on that for you. And became heir of the righteousness which is by the faith. Became an heir. Hadn't received it yet and won't until you become an heir. In fact, if you'd read this 11th chapter of Hebrews, it's going to be written about you very soon. Put yourself in that place, in the place of any of them. Look over to First Kefa, the third chapter, First Kefa 3, and look at verse 20. First Kefa 3, verse 20. Down on page 959. First Kefa 3, verse 20. This is speaking of this warning that went forth from Noah, and the warning that the house of Yahweh, the garden of Yahweh, is taking forth right now. When you see the branch budding, when you see the branch budding fruit, that's you, the fruit that is acceptable to Yahweh. Acceptable because you've humbled yourself and come to Yahweh's house to be taught His ways. And it will go to you, and you'll become a servant, a son and a daughter to Yahweh. Even as Yahweh to the disobedient, this is 1 Kefa 3, verse 20, even as Yahweh to the disobedient, when the patience of Yahweh was waiting in the days of Noah, the disobedient, he warned them. They wouldn't take warning. They didn't believe it. While the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight persons, were carried safely through the water. Look at 2 Kefa 2, and notice verse 5 here. Well, look at verse 4 also. For if Yahweh did not spare the Malachim who sinned, this is what Eob tells you a lot about. Eob tells you a lot of the stuff that, and gives you the even the historic names of these places that are having trouble in heaven. And all of that was for the reason, Yahweh brought that forth for the reason, not for Eob, but for us. All of that was written for you. But he says, verse 4, for if Yahweh did not spare the Malachim who sinned, but will cast them into the abyss, delivering them into chains, that is, stopping their power, stopping their strength, where they can't be hurting or destroying mankind. They had great, great power. You talk about above mankind. Man, a little lower than the Malachim, those people, those beings, could create a dinosaur. And then they could rearrange his body. And they did. And they created monsters to shed a lot of blood. How did they create this? They formed it from the earth that Yahweh created. From the earth, those things were formed. Fighting machines, blood-shedding machines. There was nothing but violence. The only thing it proved was that these beings, with all their knowledge, had no wisdom and no righteous morals. No character, no caring. No caring? In the last days, it says men will be lovers of themselves. That's it. That's it. Lovers of themselves. Me, myself, and I. Never thinking about anyone or caring about anything except themselves. Well, for Yahweh, if he did not spare those Malachim, but cast them into chains, that took their power away from them. And he didn't take the power away from them, actually. They took it away. Yes, the microorganisms would no longer obey them. The microorganisms were set on earth under law to take care of the earth, to take care of themselves, which was the earth, and the heavens, which was all formed and set by law by Yahweh to take care of mankind. You see that? Praise Yahweh. But delivering them into chains of darkness, that is, taking their understanding was gone, because the microorganisms wouldn't obey, to be reserved for judgment or sentencing. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah. Didn't spare the ancient world, who, again, was shedding blood, violence, feeding the blood, violent, shed by violence, back into the earth from which they were made. Their bodies were being diminished. Their minds were being confused, as Leviticus 18 shows. This all brought a breakdown of the body that was formed from the microorganisms of the earth, who is being fed by the microorganisms of the corn stalks, peach trees, grapefruit trees, orange trees, everything that your body was formed of, you get it from these foods. It's still forming. Now, if the microorganisms are sick, what do you think your body is going to be? That should be plain enough, I would think. How can you blame Yahweh for saying, don't do this or dying you're going to die, and you go ahead and do it? Yahweh didn't do it. It's you that's doing it. He says, take care, guard and keep this way, or dying you will die, and in the end, you're going to be so stupid, your world leaders, that you think are smart and get to put them in office, they're going to be so stupid, so confused, like blind men groping in the dark. They're going to darken the sun with the knowledge, with the increase in knowledge that was prophesied to become in this time period. Think of how wise Yahweh is to forecast mankind and said, this is it. This is the day you're going to receive it. 1934. Give the date. 1934. How brilliant Yahweh is, and mankind and his stupidity and his original sons before him and all of those who are following those original sons still doing stupid things to hurt themselves. Now, I know that this earth, they wouldn't understand this probably in a million years, even if they listened to this sermon. They might, but they'll push it out of their mind and go back to pushing buttons on their telephone. That's how stupid they are. They don't have sense enough now to do anything but push a button on a telephone. This is how dumb they'll become. And Yahweh shows this. They're so confused that they're going to blow themselves up. They're going to burn themselves with few of them left. That's pretty strong words, right? Well, you got the power to do it. It was written back over 2,000 years ago that you'd have it. How can you deny the rest of it? But he did not spare the ancient world that lived in the time of Noah, but saved Noah, who preached to these people for over 100 years, from 500 years to 600 years, I think it's 130 or 140 years that he preached to these people while he was preparing that ark. And never saved anyone except the ones who helped him prepare the ark. Now, isn't that something? That joined the work. That joined the work? Okay. A preacher of what? Noah? This was in chapter Genesis 6. And notice what he preached. Do you see that? The righteousness of Yahweh. The laws of Yahweh. I know you know to put First Yochanan 3, 4 through 10, or 4 through 13 if you want to, because it mentions Cain and so forth there. With that, that's the righteousness of Yahweh, his laws, that's his righteousness. And those who don't practice righteousness, it's also shown there that you belong to Satan the devil and her gods. So you're evil like the gods. Evil is what brought this forth. Not the righteousness that Yahweh was teaching Noah, and Noah taught for over 100 years. Yes, the righteousness, that's what he taught Noah. He saw to it that he was under Abel's leadership, and even after the ark settled, he still had Abel's leadership to guide him to bring forth Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moshe, bring them forth, and brought forth Yahshua to save, to pay for the sins of those who would humble themselves and believe all that the prophets have spoken. Bringing in the flood, righteousness. He preached, preacher of righteousness, preacher of the laws of Yahweh, bringing in the flood. Deuteronomy 6:25 said, this is your righteousness if you will do this. Keeping all the laws of Yahweh. Here a little and there a little. You got to put it together. Righteousness, well, the God worshipers will say, oh, you're righteous to do this. This is a just war. P-O-P-E, This is a just war. Why? Because we want their wealth. Come and let's take their land and their wealth. It's a just war. They're going to resist. We'll shed some more blood. You know, the earth would have vomited the whole mankind out already if Yahweh hadn't worked it out with the microorganisms who feeds the bodies of mankind. All alike, you know, rain on the just and the unjust, remember? All of us being fed alike, that's the reason we're suffering from the sins of the world right now. Every one of you here suffering from the sins of the world. Yes, Yahweh wants you to get the experience, to see what it's bringing. He said, you're going to see this take place. You're going to see this with your own eyes. Righteousness, bringing in the flood, that is, preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the unrighteous, those who were lawbreakers. Well, the warning. Look back to Genesis again. Genesis 2. Now, this was a warning now that Noah was preaching. This same warning right here. In Genesis 2 and verse 17, remember he gave him the laws, teacher of righteousness. And look at 2 and verse 17. And Yahweh warns them. He said, I'm a jealous God and I'm going to kill you if you do this. Well, that's what the God worshipers want you to believe. And if you would, even in the King James Version, if you want to study the King James Version and keep this in mind, you can see where they altered these scriptures and you can see where they're not backed up. Like Genesis 1:26 says, I will make man in my image. Well, the King James Version said, let us. Well, who was the us? Why, the evil gods. No, there wasn't any gods. Isaiah said, there was no one with me when I did this. I did this alone, by myself. So that contradicts what they're teaching in Genesis 1:26. But 1:27 also contradicts them. Yahweh made man, not the gods, it plainly says it, in verse 27. So they contradict themselves. You can find this in the King James Version. It's easier to find in the book of Yahweh. But notice verse 17. And remember now how he made man. He formed you from the microorganisms. He feeds you from the microorganisms. Each cornstalk, each apple on the tree is made up of microorganisms set by law to form an apple for you to eat and get the nourishment from which you were formed. You don't get it all from one apple, but you have all of these foods as is displayed in Genesis 2. Every kind of food is given there that Yahweh said he formed you from. Then he gave you seed to bring forth your body from these same microorganisms, forming you into this beautiful being that can be righteous and live a joyful life, an abundant living throughout all eternity, never dying. That's what he made for you in this body that you have right now, if you will keep his laws. If you don't keep his laws, the floods will come. It'll vomit you out, he said. The earth is going to fight against you. You're cursed from the earth. He told Cain that. All these are lessons that he gave Noah, and Noah preached it to man, mankind, after Cain killed Abel. For 140 years he taught them, and they wouldn't believe it. The tree. But of the tree of knowledge of righteousness and evil, you must not eat. In the day that you eat thereof, dying you will die. That looks so plain. I don't know how you could misunderstand it. But only at the house of Yahweh can understand, seemed like. Now get this. In this present prophesied generation, look at Genesis 49. This is all in Genesis, in the beginning. First Yochanan says, tells you, this was all taught in the beginning. It was. In the book, that's what Genesis means. The beginning, the word Genesis, it means beginning. And here in Genesis 49, it tells you, look, verse 1, last four words of verse 1. Isn't that beautiful? It's all taught to you. From beginning to end, it's taught to you. And he tells you here exactly what the 12 tribes is going to be. What they are, the kind of character they're going to have. And Yahshua told them. He said, you won't come to me that you might be saved. You're going to die in your sins. You're going to die in your sins, and it's going to proceed from here. You're going to invent the nuclear bomb that will darken the sun and burn the earth. And that's how you're going to end. Well, in the last days, he tells you, and then he gives you. He talks to you in this chapter. You right here he's speaking to. The branch and the donkeys that come to the branch to do the work of Yahweh. The work. What work can I do? Well, this is the work of Yahweh. That's what Yahshua said. This is the work of Yahweh, that you go to the one sent. That is the work. That's it. Well, verse 10, the scepter is not going to depart from this evil God-worshipping mess. That's what that verse says. You read it? It's almost in black and white. It's got to be the obedience of the nations. And they're going to be obedient, what is left of them. The few that is left that is hearing my voice now, that's the ones that Yahweh is dealing with. The few that's going to be left is Malachi, as Malachi, the great prophet Malachi showed you in Malachi 4. Those who reverence my name, you're going to go out leaping like calves from the stall. Like a newborn calf. Thithering his donkeys to the vine, who would have ever figured that one out? Here a little and there a little. Thithering, tying his donkeys to the vine. To the vine. What's he talking about? The vine. I am the vine, you are the branches, he said. And his donkey's colt to the chosen branch, or choice branch. Yes, that's you he's speaking of right there. Hebrews 11, if you'd read that and put your name on it. Put your name on it. Live up to it. They're going to be saying that about you. That's going to be written about you. It's going to be published throughout all eternity. And all it takes is humility. Humble yourself. Come to the one sent. I got to show you this on... I know you recognize this as you come in the gate. Can you get it down there? Yeah. House of Yahweh. Then underneath that, we're going to see that big black screen covered up. Now, this is a screen, and air can flow through it. And it will be right under that sign Yahweh right there. It says House of Yahweh, then Yahweh. Yahweh, by the way, is the first moon. If you haven't got a list of those, maybe Benya could give everyone a list that wants to and start familiarizing yourself. But it's the first moon. Yahweh is the first moon of the year to you. Yahweh. And if you just, you see these, if you'll just think, they will actually be lined up just like that down to the branch. Down to the branch are the two witnesses, the two witnesses. I said the two witnesses. Shaul said, well, we should have that branch. Well, I eventually overruled him and said, no, we've got to have two witnesses here. So the two witnesses is the 13th moon. 13? Is it 13 moons in a year? You see how screwed up this this worldly calendar is? I don't want to use that word anymore. I'm going to call it worldly calendar. This God-worshipping calendar is, they got 12. This is supposed to be 13. How could they come up? I remember, they can't count. Yeah, they can't even count to three. 3 days I'm going to be, 3 days and three nights I'm going to be in the heart of the grave, heart of the belly of the earth. That's what Yeshua said, and they can't figure that one out yet. Been working at it for 2,000 years and still can't count to three. Well, here I got to read this to you now. This is, I got to show it to you. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. But in the last days, this is the sign, if you can see it, going to go right under Yahweh's name. In the last days, it will come to pass that the mountain, that's the promotion of the house of Yahweh, will be established in the chief of the nations. That kind of says it all, don't it? It will be. You can count on this. You can bet your life on this. You can actually stake your life on this right here. It's no maybe. It's no maybe. Yahweh says it will be. In 96, he said, this is going to be a war that's going to start on this date in and around the great river Euphrates. You think he doesn't know what he's talking about here? It's going to be. If you don't believe it, you won't be there to see it. But it's going to be. It will be raised above all congregations, and all peoples will, they will eventually flow to it. That is all that's left alive. Those who reverence my name will flow to it after the great burning. And many nations will come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain, that's uplifting of Yahweh, and to the house of the father of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. We will walk in his paths, because this is will, all of it. It's no guess, it will. Because what? The work you're doing right here, when you came and joined the branch to do this work, because of you and this work you're doing. That's that sentence right there. Because the law will depart from Zion and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem, and he will judge between many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. That's you taking the message. And they will beat their swords into plowshares. No ifs, ands, and buts. There's not going to be war after that. And their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, nor will they learn war anymore. Okay. Praise Yahweh. That is a, and that will be, that will be, no guesswork at all. It's going to be, and it's going to be, it's coming about with you. You are the last calling, and if you'll put your name in that chapter 11 and read all those words, Yahweh is saying to you, they won't make it without you. You're the ones that's speaking of there. You are the house of Yahweh. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next song. I love you.